From the heart of New York City.
He is the human suplex machine.
This is the Taz Show.
Yeah.
Talking wrestling, sports, and beyond.
It's the Black Tower Maniac coming out of Brooklyn. A one-man crime spree. He gonna leave you shook. Try to beat him if you can and survive if he lets you. Human suplex and he coming for you too. Better watch out. The guy your mother warned you about. And he's got one question I'll inform you about. Like,
you're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Award-winning host and former world heavyweight champion, Taz.
Yes, another Tantalizing Thursday edition of the Taz Show. You know what? I'm not even sure if that's used properly, the word that I just said. But what better way to kick off any broadcast than using a word that makes no sense, and I'm probably using it grammatically incorrect. Well, I'm off to a rearing start here. Tantalizing. Captain, help me. You're smarter than me. Is it tantalizing?
Tantalizing, yeah. And it sounds like you're using it correctly.
Of course I am. Why wouldn't I? I'm a genius. I won awards. So welcome to the Taz Show, boys and girls.
You want to say that the show is going to be exciting, right? Because that's what tantalizing means.
No, actually, before the show, I had a brief conversation with yourself and the handsome Johnny. And everybody does the usual, hey, good show. Let's have a good show, guys. Let's have a good show. And I go, not today. So
that's why Johnny just said, did Taz mean tranquilizing?
That's what I meant, tranquilizing. And everybody's like, well, be positive. Why? I don't know. I'm kind of going to dog it and mail it in today. So I hope you guys enjoy the next 2 hours. I told you I'm honest.
Pull the curtain back a little.
If you want to call the show, I'm sure you're jumping to do that right now.
Attention hotline fans.
866-475-2948. 866-475-2948. One more day closer to Friday. Yes! Yes, we're so happy.
Happy day before Friday.
We love Friday, yes. Here's another one. This is randomly out of nowhere. Before I get into what we're going to talk about on the show, what's the one I want to say? I want to say, you still got it. You still got it. That's another, you know.
Hey, do you know Taz, by the way?
Fanboy wrestling chant, courtesy of Full Sail University audience in Orlando, Florida. Someone was tweeting yesterday, like, the dude who called in and kind of buried the NXT fans, I think he's kind of referring to just the fans in at Full Sail, and he's probably right.
That would make sense.
I think it would. So, red hot off of an amazing Hump Day promo yesterday, guys. If you didn't listen to that edition or watch that edition of the Taz Show from yesterday, Wednesday, Hump Day promos, the roasting of the Jim Harbaughs. Oh, man, that was one of my favorite. We've had so many great Hump Day promos, been so fortunate, thanks to the audience. And, of course, my intellect and creativity and my genius and my looks.
Your IP.
It's all my IP. It's all about me. So, I got to say, man, yesterday was up there. It's hard to say. It was the best Hump Day promo ever. I don't know. Was it? Maybe. Could be. I don't know. It might have been. Then again, maybe it wasn't. Hopefully it was. I don't know if it is.
We may have to put a poll up.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
Did we give any results to a poll that we had recently?
Yes, Johnson mustache poll.
And the porn star mustache
Ron
one,
Ron Jeremy
right?
one, yeah.
The Ron Jeremy's, yes. Okay. Who was it just said they saw Ron Jeremy getting in a limo?
I think that was Johnny.
Handsome Johnny.
Sounds like it'd be Johnny.
Recently said he saw Ron Jeremy getting a limo with like 4 or 5 girls.
Sounds about right.
Shocking. So, shocking. At least they were clothed or dressed, whatever the word is.
He didn't mention that part. So
he didn't say that. Yeah, so the Hump Day promos yesterday was really good. And like I said the past couple days, I think I want to kind of go this direction a little bit more. Not full throttle, but where the audience of the Taz Show just buries and roasts people that I say I have a problem with or whatever. Or not meaning like a celebrity that maybe I never met that's not from the wrestling business, because I won't allow our audience to bury people from the wrestling business. That's just not my style. I'm too respectful of the guys and girls in the business, past or present. But all pro, mainstream pro athletes and actors and acting and musicians, fair game. Which leads me to a natural segue, because I'm a machine. Speaking of music, now, Captain, I walked in here today and you hit me with the news because, you know, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. And like most people, most, you know, dudes or women like the Zepp. Right or wrong?
You're right.
What's not to like?
I like the Zepp.
You better love them. The mighty, mighty Led Zeppelin. Okay? Well, now this apparently wasn't like new news, but you hit me with the news.
It's been dragging on for a while. Apparently now it's finally gone to trial. Led Zeppelin's been accused of ripping off the intro of Stairway to Heaven.
Which is, like, unbelievable. Stairway to Heaven. That is their most iconic song, Led Zeppelin, right?
As far as I can tell, yeah.
And they're being accused of...
stealing the entire intro.
Oh, my God!
I mean, come on. Now, of course, we'd love to play you. We can play. Well, we're not going to play. We can't. We can, but we can't.
We can, yeah. We can, but we can't.
But we can't. Yeah, so, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. Please give, because you're a music guy, tell the audience the backstory of the band that they stole it from and what Jimmy Page said. Get into that, please. It's like pulling teeth here with you, brother. Come on.
Sorry, I have someone chatting away in my ear.
Who?
So here we go.
Hold on, stop! Stop! Stop that! Stop! No, no, stop! Stop!
No!
Stop! Stop! Everything stop right now!
What do you mean no?
Stop! 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 Not mad at you this time, Captain. Not! I'm mad at everybody else in this building that doesn't have a camera in their face or a mic. No! No, no, no! I talk! I'm the most important guy here! Me! Me! I am me! The Taz Show, right there. It's not the Video Brian Show. It's not the Handsome Johnny Show. It's the Taz Show. Who is more important than me to listen to?
No one.
Yes! Why am I screaming? God almighty, it's segment one. Who's in your ear?
The dancing one.
Okay, okay, okay. He's, let me guess. He's flooding you. We got to have a meeting.
Yeah.
With Handsome Johnny. And you know who's going to be in that meeting?
Handsome Johnny.
And me. And no one else. I'm telling you right now, the handsome one needs to just, he's got to start drinking again.
Relax.
Yeah, he's got to relax. He's got to be like the chairman said to his hump day promo.
There we go.
Coach relax. Coach relax.
From USC.
I'm trying to communicate. You're trying to produce the show. You're editing. It's a, you know. And now I'm asking you a question to give some backstory on the Led Zeppelin and what happened, what Jimmy Page said and stuff like that. And then we got Handsome Johnny is like superseding what I have to say. Come on. Ignore all these. Take your headset and throw it in the pooper.
I'll just turn it off until we go to break.
Skippy, yeah. Who the hell is more important than me right now? Once we leave this room, I'm not important. But in this room, I am very important. Agreed?
Agreed.
Out of here, I mean nothing. No, I mean, really. I hate to, you know, I mean nothing. I mean, let's be honest. I have no juice, nothing. At home, I mean nothing.
You got Hulk juice?
I got Hulk juice, yes. I need some Hulk juice. But in this room, it's all about me. And when I leave here, done. It's over. It just falls apart. In the building, at home, in the street, it just falls right down the hopper. But I'm telling you, brother, I'm running with it while I'm in here.
Have you been getting bullied?
I'm getting bullied. I'm getting pushed around. I'm getting floggled and fogged. Okay?
That's a lot.
That's a bad day. Please tell me about Led Zeppelin and Jimmy Page.
All right, so Jimmy Page is alleging that at the time he had no knowledge of the band Spirit, which is the band that's suing them for allegedly being ripped off.
Right.
The problem with that is that apparently in a Denver show in 1968, Led Zeppelin opened up for the band Spirit. And members of the band Spirit have said that, hey, we even hung out with you after this show.
Oh, my God. Now that is a hack alert. Are we having a tech issue here?
Oh, it's okay. It's been resolved.
And we're having an old, it's a throwback hack. That's a new one. Throwback hack alert. What year was Spirit in around? Led Zeppelin opened up for them. That had to be in the 60s.
It's 1968, it says here, at a show in Denver. It was the first time I think Led Zeppelin came out to the United States.
I was born in 78, so I wasn't even born yet. What the hell are you laughing at? So, yeah, man, so Jimmy Page says, I don't even know who these guys are.
At the time, he did not know. Afterwards, though, he became familiar with them. He's got a whole bunch of their albums in his collection. But he's saying at the time...
They called him out, though.
Yeah.
These guys are doing some serious hacking.
Look, I love the Zep. I do. But that's not cool. Listen, guys, I heard the Spirit song. What is going on? We have a problem here?
We're having a recording issue at the moment.
But live, as far as live, we're okay.
Right now, it's all right.
But the podcast version, there's going to be a problem.
We can probably pull it off of... I think we may have to break right now from the sound of it.
Okay, so we're going to go to break, and it won't be long. So we just got to fix something here. We got a little issue going on. I feel like I work for TNA now. you will not see a commercial of the 70 show. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back here live on the Taz Show. We had a minor issue there, but we're good. We're back rolling again. Sometimes these things happen. You know, it's funny, because I kind of gave, I didn't give TNA a hard time with their technical difficulties. I mean, they had a whole two-hour show not air, but it wasn't their fault. It was the Pop TV production. And it's funny because they claim, Pop, I guess, it was weather-related. Over there in Atlanta, where the Pop TV's at, Master Control. So the storms affected them, and they had those technical difficulties the other night. Well, coincidentally, here in New York City, it's raining. So, but I have done many live shows here with the captain as a producer in the rain and the snow and the sleet and the wind and the cold and the sun. And we had not, well, I shouldn't say we've never had problems.
Slightly windy days.
Slightly windy days, yes. Right now, we are back live, and yes, they're dancing in the streets. I could hear the ruckus outside on the Manhattan streets. They're running around like a muck. So back where we were, I was talking about the Led Zeppelin. So Captain brought some news that this band back in 1968, Spirit, they had Led Zeppelin opening up for them. Excuse me. And Spirit has this long-going lawsuit against Led Zeppelin that they hacked the opening of Stairway to Heaven from Spirit, and then Led Zeppelin kind of tweaked it a little bit, changed a couple of notes and chords, right, Captain?
It sounds similar, but to me it doesn't sound exact.
It sounds very similar. It does. But I'm a little surprised because I've thought that Led Zeppelin can't do no wrong. I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Led Zeppelin. And now that I see that they kind of copied a little bit, or they hacked something, they did. Dude, you're a music guy. I wish we could play it, but I mean, the beginning of both those songs are so similar.
Definitely. And the song that Spirit put out is called Taurus, just in case anyone wants to go out and check it out.
What's it called?
Taurus.
No one cares.
Okay. So so that's the song that sounds like Stairway into Heaven. So Stairway into Heaven. How am I doing? She's buying me a stairway into heavens. We gotta put that on the album.
I was about to say that.
And she's buying me a stairway to the heavens. Epic. Robert Plant, you got nothing on me, son. Nothing, I say, nothing. So anyway, that's the deal on that. So that's interesting. I'm a little surprised.
Zeppelin's been sued in the past and settled out of court for other songs.
Really?
Zeppelin has been accused of ripping off Whole Lotta Love and Dazed and Confused as well.
Got a whole lot of love. Dun, dun, dun. Got a whole lot of love. Meow. Dun, 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 dun. You know it, right?
Of course.
Oh, I know it. And what was the other one? Dazed and Confused?
Yes.
That's the new thing here. The Taz Show, By the Sims and Beyond, and Taz Show crew, I say. Dazed and Confused. Yes, you guys are all dazed and confused, and if I didn't mention, you all suck. But work hard and have a smile on your face.
I was about to get worried that you weren't going to say we sucked. Then I know something's really wrong.
I keep everyone inspired, Captain. You know that. That's what I do. That's why people love the Taz Show. I got people calling the show right now. They love me. I need to be inspired right now. Are we ready?
We are ready if you want to count me down.
They're counting you down. In a 3, 2, 1.
And now, a Taz Show inspirational moment.
You've got one job, and that is to get better. Derrick Rose.
God almighty.
I don't give a damn!
If that's not the most trite thing I've ever heard in my life, you got one job. Do people, like the Derrick Rose, he's the basketball player, right?
Yes.
I mean, the guy, like, say this just to... You know what? Like his publicity guy, his publicist, as they call him, said, hey, you know, DR, that's what they call Derrick Rhodes, I guess.
That's what you call him when you call him up, right?
Yeah, when I call him. Hey, DR, you need to, I think you need to have like an inspirational quote. Word. And then he comes up with that. It's like, what is that? You got one job. You got to get better. Shut up. Derrick Rhodes, if that is your real name. No relation to Buddy Rhodes and a blowaway diet.
That'd be interesting if they were.
That would be interesting. So, you know, hey, look, again, on a serious tip here, just a follow-up to something yesterday I spoke about, the tragic situation. Just a follow-up, I need to do this. I want to get this out there just so you guys know, if you haven't looked at the news or whatever, but the unfortunate, tragic, horrible, horrific incident where the toddler was dragged in... to the ocean, to the water, the lake, or whatever it was, there by the alligator on Wednesday afternoon. The cause of death was a drowning because the body was found intact of this young child.
I'm guessing the parents may have scared the gator away because it just, that's really strange.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it could be. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate for me to get into my opinions on theories of what the gator did or didn't do. So I just want to say, you know, it's just so sad. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and it's just, you can't even just fathom this. It's just heartbreaking. But as of noon yesterday, right, Cap, I'm reading here, right, five alligators were recovered correctly from the lake, and I'm trying to see, exam for possible involvement in the attack?
Yeah, they were euthanized.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
And they were examined because they're not sure if they caught the right gator. And it's kind of scary to know that there were that many there already.
Well, see, that's the thing right now. See, that's the deal. Now, what I heard was, okay, a couple from the UK were there like a day or two prior, and they told people at the Grand Floridian Hotel there in Disney, hey, you guys got gators like floating around here, like close to the sand. Like, what's up?
And there were signs from what I heard too, saying stay out of the water.
Okay, I didn't hear that part. Here's the thing. That's great. I mean, that's fine. You put signs up, okay, and people are telling you you got gators. What is? Like I said yesterday in the show, I thought that. And I've been to Disney enough. I've been to this hotel. I thought a lot of those Disney properties, they have man-made waters, man-made lakes. And they throw some fish in there to make it look tropical and just not alligators.
I think Johnny's telling me this particular location was man-made as well.
Well, if it was man-made, then why are there gigantic alligators there? No, you know what I mean? Like, why? If you sure it's not connected? I'm not looking at a map of the water of the...
Johnny's saying it's connected somewhere else.
So it's not man-made. If it's connected to the natural waters, then how is it man-made?
It can't be made and then
how
connected?
About we don't rely on Johnny and we GTS this? All right, let's do this together. Okay. No, I'm joking. Look, just check it out, bro. I'm serious. I think that a map I saw of the water, dude, the open waters are connected to the lake or whatever, the inlet or the bay area of this hotel. So you could get any kind of a sea creature or whatever, you know, make their way into those waters towards that sand. You know, and then my wife was telling me, she was reading that and heard on TV that sometimes people at the Grand Floridian throw like food like towards the alligators to eat while they're in there. So now that would make the alligators or crocodile, I don't even know the difference, and it doesn't matter at this point, but what, like if you're going to start chucking food at them, those gators are going to be trained. They know they're going to go near the sand because they're going to get something to, you know, to eat and stuff like that.
And it's going to attract more and more.
Correct. So, you know, I'm telling you, I think Disney, you know, they need to really do something about, I'm sure they're going to, but they've been around for years. This hotel's been around for years, and it's a very, very expensive hotel, by the way. It's a resort. I'm calling it a hotel. It's a resort. It's extremely expensive, but they got to figure something out, a gate system under the water or something. But then I'm hearing that you can't really keep gators out. They'll get under the sand. They'll dig through under, and they'll get under a gate system.
I'm researching here. It is a man-made lake in there.
Then where do the gators, if it's man-made, then where, how are they, you're telling me, I'm not saying you're telling me, rhetorically, like that Disney put alligators in this water? That's insane if they did that. Insane.
I'm guessing the alligators probably found their way there somehow.
No, but that's, but if it's man-made, to me, man-made means, okay, we have acres and acres of land. We're going to build this big, beautiful, fancy resort. We're going to make a man-made lake. Dude, and there's no water connected to it that could bring real sea life into this. We're going to control the sea life. You see what I'm saying? Maybe I'm confused on what man-made
means. It's connected to the Bay Lake from what I'm pulling up here.
Well, then, see, that's the problem. If it's connected to, and I thought I saw an overshot map of the waters around that resort. But see what I'm saying? Like, that's a, right. Now, Captain, for those that have not watched the video, Captain is showing me a screen.
A map.
That's it. Map. Easy. Map. Yeah, I see. It's connected. Where's the hotel? Point to the hotel.
This over here. I see.
Okay. So, yeah, that's connected. So, any sea life can get into that supposed man-made lake. I don't know, how you make a lake or make a fake ocean at some resort. I don't know how that's done, and nor do I need to know, but I am confused on how you say something's a man-made lake, but yet it's connected to nature, meaning, you know, a real bay or lake or ocean or river, where anything, you're going to, anything could swim in there. You know, it's crazy to me. They need to really look into this. This is a legitimate, serious problem. I mean, this young child lost his life, and these parents, they lived through a horror. And they'll, unfortunately for them, it's just never going to go away. I feel so bad for them, and thoughts and prayers with them. And you know, it's just horrible, horrible, disgusting situation. So I just wanted to just bring that up again, just as an update of what we found out and stuff like that here on the Taz Show. So I felt like that was my need to do that. Hey, Edward in Vancouver, how are you?
Hey, Taz. I got a story I wanted to share with you. Maybe it'll lighten the mood a little bit.
Okay, sure. Go for it, buddy.
I was at an indie show up here in Vancouver about a month ago, and I got a chance to talk to Tommy Dreamer a bit. And was asking him about the conversation about the Cruiserweight Classic came up, and we started talking about Tajiri. And then 2 days ago, you'd said that you'd sort of lost touch with him and hadn't talked to him in a while.
Right.
Well, Tommy Dreamer was saying that Tajiri had hurt his arm really bad and was, like, locked up. Like, he couldn't use it anymore. And the doctors told him, that's it. You know, you're going to be like this.
I missed what you said.
Life.
Wait. What happened to Tajiri? Say it one more time.
I don't remember exactly how, but something happened and Tajiri got his arm locked up. Like,
oh, his arm. Like, his arm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently the doctors told him that's it. That's just, you have to live with this. And somehow he found his way to an acupuncturist that cured it for him. So Tajiri got really excited, and apparently he's now is a trained professional acupuncturist.
Wow.
We can do that. Like, I found his acupuncture Facebook page. I'll tweet it to you in a minute. But yeah, so apparently that's what he's doing now. Apparently,
is he in Japan doing this or in the United States?
Tommy Dreamer said he's going to be moving to California to open his own practice. So
holy cow!
Yeah,
that's
I
amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Well, it is very cool. It's funny. You know, there's an acupuncturist. I think I might have mentioned this on the air. I can't recall. But I know of an acupuncturist. I don't know the guy personally. I've never been to, but I want to go to him to help me with some stuff. A buddy of mine goes to him, a guy on Long Island who's like a wizard. I've been to an acupuncturist once many years ago when I broke my neck, and I tried everything. And the acupuncturist I went to flat out sucked. And you know what it is, man? Ed, it's like, I think with the acupuncture gimmick, if you find someone who's legit, they're amazing. But a lot of them, no pun intended, it's like a needle in a haystack. Because a lot of them do suck, seriously. So that's cool to hear about Tajiri. And God, I mean, it seems to me that'd be a really difficult career to segue into. How do you learn to become a good acupuncturist, really?
Well, apparently he was just so impressed by it because he had been told, like, you were, the way that Tommy Dreamer showed it, his arm was locked up, like, kind of in a folded position up by his chest. Like, this wasn't only going to be like, you know, stop wrestling, this pretty much meant he wasn't going to be able to use that arm anymore for anything. And apparently he tried everything, and this acupuncturist just, he said it's the, you know, as close to a miracle as he could get. So, I mean, I guess, you know, if you get something like that, you're going to want to share that, right?
Yeah, man, no doubt. That's really cool. Hey, dude, I appreciate the information there, Edward. I do.
Yeah, of course.
You know, if I knew Tommy Dreamer, he would tell me himself, but I never met him. So, all right, buddy. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care.
Take care. See, that's nice. Now, I even have people giving me information. And I embrace it, right? I embrace it. I don't push back.
You have eyes and ears everywhere.
I have people everywhere. The Taz Show Nation is everywhere. The captain's building a slight following because we haven't even delved, if that is a word, too. That
it
fits.
Is. Oh, look. And it fits well.
Oh, Taz, you got that one. Yeah. I haven't even delved into the captain, and I quote, I've signed autographs, unquote. The captain.
Yes.
Signing autographs. That conversation,
scary.
That right there is 3 days of conversation that I need to have on air. That you are a star now because you signed autographs before you even met me.
Yeah.
All right. Now, because we had a little mess up earlier, not mess up, we had a tech issue. Do I need to go to break now? I need some direction from our director or something. What am I doing?
I'm cool with going through. I don't know if... Video Brian's cool with it, too.
Okay, no problem. We're going to go a couple minutes, and then just I need a heads up. We're not going to go to break because our times are screwed up here. So, look, in some other news, and I think that we got to talk a little football news here and then get into some wrestling news. But so Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, please, Captain, help me with this. What did he say about the Nate Robinson trying to make the segue into the NFL?
He thought Nate Robinson did very well, but considering that Nate's 32 years old, hasn't played football in a really long time, Carroll stated that it's all but impossible for Nate Robinson to make the leap to the NFL.
No! So, dude, when you're trying out for a team and the head coach goes public and says that, my man, don't even show up for the next practice. Hand in your cleats. Give them back the Seahawk t-shirt and
all
shorts.
All right, thanks for coming.
And just say, I appreciate it. Can I keep the baseball cap you gave me? And I'm out. Get your Rolls Royce, Nate, and drive away. Really. When the head coach says he did great, but.
The butt.
When you get the butt nut. Oh,
that's it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You can't. When you hear the coach say, oh, he did great, but. That's just like, I got to move on now. Nate Robinson, thanks for coming. And this happens. I mean, look, I talked, I think, a while back about Brock Lesnar. I remember talking to Brock when we were in WWE together, when Brock was going to go over and try it out for the Minnesota Vikings as a defensive lineman. And, you know, just big, fast, strong. And I talked to Brock at a building somewhere in Texas. I can't remember where we were, in an arena. I said, dude. Are you crazy? What are you doing? Because I'm going to make the team, test. Brock, I'm sure you're going to go far, but, you know, because I'm tougher, I'm bigger, I'm faster than all those guys. And I go, when was this time you played football? He goes, high school. I go, you wrestled in college. You didn't play another sport. You were an All-American. You were a stud at Minnesota. And you played high school football. Yes, I was really good. All the time. It's okay. And I'm like, Brock. He goes, I don't care. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. I wasn't trying to talk him out of it. I'm just thinking, dude, this is going to be hard. Knowing Brock, he bust his ass. He did great. He made it to like the last cuts, but didn't make the team for the Vikings.
Well, Brock's very talented in a lot of sports.
Very talented.
He referred to himself as kind of like a current Bo Jackson.
Like a Bo Jackson. Now, there is some news about the Bo Jackson, right?
Someone asked Bo Jackson what they thought of Brock Lesnar referring to himself as the current Bo Jackson, and Bo Jackson's response was, I don't even know who Brock Lesnar is.
What do you mean, no?
I can't believe it. That's almost worse than a Nate Robinson game.
Oh, man.
What is going on? These football guys are burying everybody. You know, when I heard about this and I heard that Bo Jackson was going to comment, I had a feeling he was going to say that. Because, see, that's unfortunate. That's the wrestling business. That's the wrestling business. A lot of people don't know people from the business. Look at this is basically what I've learned in all my years in the business and work for all these companies.
Boys and girls, it's time to gather around the learning tree with your kind and caring teacher, Taz.
He's so mean all the time.
He's always so angry.
He yells at everyone.
What?
He's sharing his one-of-a-kind insider perspective of professional wrestling from inside the ring to broadcasting major events.
It's all about me. It's me.
Me, me, me.
Be on your best behavior and make sure to ask lots of questions.
Stop it. Shut up. Everybody just shut up.
It's the Learning Tree with Taz.
We all, as wrestlers, wrestling promoters, wrestling announcers, wrestling referees, and most importantly, wrestling fans, right? We all assume everyone knows who we are. When I say we, I am grouping together the whole professional wrestling, sports entertainment, and entertainment universe. We all think that. And I'm telling you, when you work for these companies, you really think that. Because you're in that bubble. Inside of the hype machine is a nice feeling a lot of the times. When you get out of that bubble, you realize you're not as famous as you think you are. And this is no disrespect on Brock. And Brock is very famous. And Brock, with his success as a sports entertainer and obviously in UFC and as a collegiate wrestler, he's extremely successful and famous. I'm just basically talking about the whole world of sports entertainment and wrestling. I've experienced it. When you leave or try to leave pro wrestling, the first thing you are, which sucks, is typecast. And when you're typecast, it's a horrible feeling. I lived it. And you get almost, it's slightly changing a little. You get almost a pro wrestling stink on you.
I was going to ask, did you also kind of feel like you're working your way again from the bottom up to something else? Or
you don't mind that? No. To answer your question, no, it doesn't. You can't even get at the bottom. I'm not kidding you, dude. Seriously. Like, look at a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I've said this privately to someone. I might have said it on the air. I don't remember. I say so much stuff. But look at a guy like Steve Austin. And Steve Austin, arguably a household name, one of the most famous pro wrestlers of all time, during the hottest time in pro wrestling. Man has made millions of dollars. Very successful guy. Still amazing. Does a great podcast every week for Podcast One. All of this stuff. Has his own show and has been in the acting world now for quite some time and done very well. But look at how long it took him to kind of get known as an actor. And this was a huge name. It took him so long to pay his dues just to even get into that world. And he worked his ass off. And it's happening for him, but it took him so long. It's not Steve's fault. It's not his fault at all. It's the typecasting of the business. A guy like The Rock, it did not happen overnight for The Rock either. John Cena's doing all this stuff on the Today Show. He's trying to break the bubble. He's trying to show a softer side to this pro wrestling guy. Of course, to the hardcore wrestling fan, John Cena's not looked at as a tough guy. But guess what? Hardcore wrestling fan, the mainstream, not wrestling fan, not mainstream wrestling fan, but the mainstream universe of people who like any form of entertainment look at all pro wrestlers as three things in no particular order: crazy, mean, fake. Seriously, I lived it. And Cena's in that bubble too. And you got to break out of it. And John's doing that. He's showing a softer side. He's going a different route. I think it's cool what he's doing. And he's another super successful guy with a huge name. Now, there are some guys that are true household names that I would think a Bo Jackson would know. He's going to know a Steve Austin. He's going to know The Rock. He's going to know Hulk Hogan. Everybody knows Hulk Hogan's name. I'm just saying, this is no attack or knock on anybody from the industry of professional wrestling, sports entertainment, none of that crap. Okay, what I'm trying to say and educate people to is what I've lived and a lot of people lived that were much bigger names than me, that's hard to break. No matter what outside area of pro wrestling in entertainment you're trying to get into, including radio. I have tried for 10 years to get into this CBS radio, to get into this company. Before that, other radio companies. very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. And I was hosting SmackDown with Michael Cole when we were getting huge ratings. And I was the lead color commentator, one of the lead announcers for years on broadcast, not cable, broadcast TV. And couldn't break into radio. Where I was hosting a show on SmackDown where the ratings were not contingent on my performance. I think I might have used that word right, too.
You did.
Yeah, I know I did. You still don't know me, do you?
No, I do.
You think I'm dumb?
You think I think you're dumb. I do not.
The captain. Well said.
You know me. I'm like a sledgehammer. Believe me, I'd say it.
I wish I had a sledgehammer to hit you with. So, I'm just trying to let people know that when a guy like a Bo Jackson says that about a massive name like Brock Lesnar, some are like, why? How does he not know Brock? Because we, as the professional wrestling and sports entertainment universe, are in our own bubble, and it's not as big as we think it is. Seriously, it really isn't. It's not. Most people don't give a rat's ass about sports entertainment. Look at, it's unfortunate too. I mean, I'm not knocking my business that I'm from. Trust me, I'm not doing that. I'm just being real. And look at the ratings, like for the NBA Finals compared to Raw. They smashed Raw. Look at on Monday nights, dude. I don't know if you happen to know the numbers. I don't know the numbers. You know the numbers?
I'll pull it up right now. I think it was. It was over 20 million, I want to say.
Compared to Raw, which
Raw had under 3 million for the first time in a long time. I think it was the lowest rating since for a non-holiday show since 1997.
Yeah, see, look at like that. I've said this before to friends of mine in the business. With a pro wrestling audience, I don't care if it's TNA or Ring of Honor or if ECW is still around or WWE, whatever it was or is, you could put it on any network you want, on Bravo, on public access TV, on the home shopping network. You're still going to get the same number. It's because the fans are going to follow you. They're going to follow the brand of wrestling they like. It's the same audience. And you try to grow it and get new people, you know, more casual fans to gravitate to what you're putting out there. If you're WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, Lucha Underground, whatever the hell you are. That's the way it works. We'll have to handle this on the other side of the break. We got to go to break now.
You want to go now?
We got to. I'm being told. What do you mean I want to go now? It's not up to me. I'll talk all day. La, la, la. All day Jones. All day long.
That's a new segment. All day Jones.
That's actually not bad. You guys are screwing up break spots, this and that. You're messing me up. All of you.
It's a conspiracy.
I'm dying out here. You're messing me up.
What are you turning this guy into?
All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to get to some calls. We got to talk a little bit about the NXT, which I didn't see. The captain did, and I know, and I'm going to react to some of the stuff he said. I had some stuff going on last night, and I got some stuff going on tonight, too. I'm a busy guy. I got to have a life. I'm just letting you know that. I do have a life. Captain, do you have a life?
Sometimes.
No one cares.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay. All right. We are back here on the Taz Show. A Thursday edition covering a lot of different stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about in a few seconds here, about Play It. It's where the podcast version of my show lives. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about something else with Play It, where it's interesting because someone had just tweeted. Let me get the gentleman's name. Frostez Walnuts. I think I'm saying that. At Frosty's Walnuts. It's funny already. Are you still part of Play It? Heard a new commercial for them and you're not featured in their new ad. I've heard this from some other folks on the Twitter. To answer your question, yes, sir, Mr. Walnuts. I am part of Play It. The show is, as I said, a Play It podcast, the version of the show, of the podcast version, drops every day on Play It, on iTunes, on Spotify, on TuneIn, and at TazShow.com. And also at Play It on YouTube, you can watch clips of the Taz Show, which that's new news to me. I found that out thanks to one of the fans. I guess I was not in the loop.
Guess I wasn't either.
Yeah, I guess you weren't either. Yeah, exactly. None of us here were. So, yeah, I don't get that. But it's a little embarrassing, to be frank. It is, you know.
I think I know something that'll cheer you up real quick.
Oh, what's that? What's that?
Oh.
What's going to cheer me
up? What's that?
Still trending. Taz is still trending.
Yes. How many plant shows are trending, have ever trended?
Stop.
How many? Oh, wait, I know how many. KFJ, where you at? That felt good.
You got to let it out.
Oh, and I do, brother. And I do. And I'm going to keep on. Yeah. So apparently, from what I heard when I investigated what the Play It, I asked the lovely folks and I said, hey, what's the deal? What's the deal? Why is my show, I'm an original Play It show. I'm basically one of the first shows you ever signed with CBS. For those that don't know, even though you listen or watch the show, you might not know this, but Play It is the podcast platform or division for CBS, CBS Radio. Play It is part of CBS Radio. I am under contract to CBS Radio, but my show falls on Play It, the podcast then. So, the audio end. So, I think I might have been the first show they signed, or maybe second or third show. I can't recall. And a lot of these other shows flopped and they got rid of, and then they brought all new shows in once it really started building momentum. I was here from the beginning when no one even knew what Play It was. It was brand spanking new. And I made it through the ring.
Hey, do you know Taz, by the way?
And I'm proud to say, thanks to the audience, the show is flourishing through the ring. Thanks to the audience and the Taz Show Nation, we not only made it through the rain, we are running through the rain, barefoot, with our ass hanging out, lying and laughing. Yeah, buddy. Yes.
Yes.
As it were, we're running through the rain. Ha, 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 Show City. Yes, that's what we're doing. Lying and laughing every day.
Every time you say that, I just keep thinking, why don't you just tell me what movie you want to see?
The best. Kramer, the best. Yeah. Play it original. Been here from the beginning. Not in the commercial. So what I was told was, well, see, now look, this is an interesting topic. Okay, this is almost a segue for what I said from the other side of the break, where you're typecast or where it's tough. It's the same thing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the people I play don't think I'm a big enough star or the Taz Show's not a big enough show. I don't know. The numbers are pretty good. You guys still have me here. But apparently, when I investigated, they say, Play It says, well, you fall under sports. Okay. I can see that to a degree. The show has always kind of fell under the sports and recreation realm. Excuse me. So that part I can see. But I cover pop culture. I cover lifestyle. I cover cooking. We talk about Greek yogurt.
We did a whole week of food, a menu off the hook.
Yes. I talk music. That's part of pop culture. Leonardo DiCaprio. I've done a whole thing on him.
I think he might be on the list for a roast.
Oof, that poor bastard. Took him forever to win a trophy, and I got one in like 6 months.
Yeah, they might have to go on the list for Hump Day.
What I think it might be, Captain? I think the Play It folks don't like me.
You don't think so?
I think they don't like me.
Who wouldn't like you?
I don't know. But some might think because I'm brash. How am I doing? Brash. B-R-A-S-H. That's what I am. kind of in your face. And I think some of the folks around here, they don't like that. They like the PC. Oh, thanks for having my show on your network. I don't do that. Thanks for having me aboard. No. I say, I want more. Give me more. That's what I do. I show up angry. And when you show up angry, you don't get put in the play a commercial, I guess.
Or the lobby.
Or the lobby. Or the pantry.
Well, maybe the pantry.
You are just, well, you're on the sports. Oh. Okay.
And did they mumble entertainment after that part?
You guys can tweet Seth if you'd like, because, you know, I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's part of a team that puts a lot of this stuff together. Yeah, you could tweet Seth, no problem. At Seth the Wit or Twit.
I think it's the Twit.
Set the Twit. That kind of explains it. Yeah. Listen, you know what? When my audience comes to me and they're asking questions like this, I got to answer them. They're pissed off. Who else around here is trending? Who? Who? Who else? Any of these other shows are player trending? No!
What are you, nuts?
They're not! Where's the heat? Why? Because I don't do a segment on today's show like the Carson Daly or what? Because I'm not hosting The Voice? Well, what is it? Well, because I don't have my own Panoply's street show, whatever they call that. Or I'm not doing a home and garden bakery set. Or I don't walk around with a dress on. Well, what's the reason?
I'd like to see you give gardening tips.
I mean, really? It's very disappointing. Hey, Kevin in Northern California, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Talk to me, man.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well, you awake? All right, you good?
It's 4:30 over here, so
all right.
I stayed up to listen to the show.
All right, well, I appreciate it. Well, wake up and talk to me. What's up?
Dude, I love this show. I stay up for it.
Thank you, man. You listen to it every or watch it every day? What do you do? Listen?
Every VOD, I got you right now. I got you muted, and I'm watching an orange shirt gimmick.
Thank you. And did you go to the vape store before you called here? What are you doing?
If you want to know all about that, I know all about that stuff. I got one of the cards.
Wait, you know about the vape?
I know about the vape. I know about the pot. I know about the edibles, everything. You can get everything over here. No problem.
Okay. Let's discuss the vape. What is it? Is it like tomato juice, banana juice, and water? That's what I heard. What, steam?
Yeah. That's complete BS.
That's a complete BS. That's exactly what it is.
What they do is they take all the like the leftover buds, and then they put it in propane tanks.
Oh, okay.
And then that's what makes the hash oil.
Okay.
That's what it is. And then that's the real vape. And the fake vape is just the fake cigarette. That's where they have it.
That's what the captain does. Him and Handsome John, they go and they do the fake vape. That's what they do.
I don't know, man. They might go to Massachusetts, get the real one. You know what I mean?
Well, they might see, what's his name, from our friend who was on the phone yesterday from Massachusetts. With Nick from Salem, Mass. He could be visiting the fake vape, too, that guy. You never know.
Dude, so,
what's up?
I was born in Boston, so I figured I'd have heat with you.
Well, yeah, I'm very proud of you. Listen, what do you want to talk about?
I got a couple things, to be honest, but I'll pull them at you real quick. What's it called? First off, I just spoke to the new lady. I was Handsome John.
Oh, the new lady, the new female incoming call concierge.
Yeah. I talked to her. She was real nice. But,
right, it's very nice.
Yeah, it's my second time getting through, but I called in like 8 times. I usually just chop it up with Handsome Johnny.
Handsome Johnny. Yeah, we're trying to get rid of him in the whole company, actually, to be honest with you. There was an opportunity to have him fired weeks ago, and then I saved him, made it through the rain, and I regret it, but I digress. All right, so where are we going here, Kev? What are we talking about, big guy?
I was trying to save him. What's it called? First off, I want to say that Seth Rollins' t-shirt is a hack.
Seth Rollins t-shirt? Why?
Yeah. The rebuild, design. Rebuild, reclaim, design or whatever.
Re-gimmick.
Used to be destroy, rebuild, and then reclaim or something. It's not that different.
From whose? Who was the destroy one? What shirt?
The Seth.
The Seth Rollins?
Yeah. If you look on the...
So you're saying he hacked his own stuff?
Yeah, from his, if you watch the,
Punk show. These guys are doing some serious hacking.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that Seth Rollins had a shirt that was like that, and so he hacked his own stuff again. That's what you're saying.
He changed one word.
Okay, so that's... And that other shirt was for sale?
Yeah, it was before. If you watch the hacked, and, what's it called? The swerve. I watched it last night, dude. It was horrible.
It sucks.
All they do is they play pranks on little kids.
Oh, that's horrible. Now, there's no place for that in this world. I mean, really, there is no place. And thank you for calling, Kev. Kevin, he woke up pretty quick.
She's counting me down.
He's vaped it up. Cap, you still doing the fake vape?
Nah.
He said you do the fake vape. That's what he said.
Now you said I did.
Oh, come on now. Thanks for asking about my hand, by the way. It's good.
It looks good. That's why I didn't ask.
Well, because
squeezing away.
Yeah, I'm squeezing away because of the bus. You know, I had the bus fall on my wrist.
You got to thank Lean Mean for helping you.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. It's a good point. Phones are ringing like crazy off the hook here. How are we doing on the social media world? I'm just curious. Let's see here.
Let me confirm.
Let's check. Hold on. Let's see what we got. Oh! And begin.
Taz is still trending.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He's still trending. Here he is. Trending.
Oh, you're welcome, play it. Yeah, but it's a topical trend, Taz. What was the thing Handsome Johnny said? It was remember he put excuses on why it was trending too.
It's in a pocket of something or other.
Yeah, it's in a pocket of trends that fall off of a Dynaflow into a gas face.
Under an umbrella with branches.
With branches and there's Greek yogurt on your feet.
With Nola.
Yeah, that's kind of what he said, but different. Similar, but kind of, maybe. I'm not sure. Joey in the Bronx, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Tess?
How are you, bud?
Good, man, good. What's going on, Captain? Ahoy.
Good, all right, how are you?
What's up? Talk to me.
All right. Yeah, I want to give the off the hooks.
Yes, sir. Heavy. Super heavyweights off the hook. What do you got?
All right, the first match going in, we got Big Sal versus Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, that's a different one. Okay.
Yeah. I got Kurgan versus the Great Khali.
Wow, Kurgan. Okay.
Yeah. There's a throwback right there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
A TBT, you know. And then at number three, we got Vader, Big Van Vader versus Haystacks Calhoun.
Finally, someone mentions the great Haystacks Calhoun. Okay, buddy, good. What else you got?
And I wanted to ask you a quick question, like whether or not, do you ever think that the Shield and the Club are going to have a future angle on Raw, SmackDown, or ever in the WWE?
I don't think so. Who knows what could happen maybe a couple of years down the road. I don't think so. I mean, maybe if you have the Club as heels and then somehow you make the Shield get back together, make them baby faces, but I don't see that happening. I think that Seth Rollins, in my opinion, is probably going to be a heel for a long time because they just had a great opportunity to make him a baby face on his return from his knee injury, and they didn't do that. So
right.
I think that their goal is to be full throttle with him as a heel. I think Dean Ambrose is staying babyface for the longest time ever because people could connect to him.
Give him the extra push, you know?
Correct. And I do think that Roman Reigns, they had so many opportunities to turn him heel, and they're just dead set against making him a heel right now. And for the past, I don't know, 6 months. So I don't think that's going to happen. But, Joey, thank you for calling from the Bronx. I appreciate it. So was there anything else in the news that I didn't hit there, dude? I'm trying to think. We had that tech issue and
WWE abandoning the trademark application.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that. So explain.
WWE is no longer pursuing a trademark for the term Legion of Doom.
Now, on the Tuesday show, was it? I believe I talked at length about this Legion of Doom situation, about the great Road Warriors of past. And it's not a good idea to do this, to trademark this and maybe put it on the Authors of Pain from NXT, who wrestled last night, I believe.
The Authors of Pain made their NXT in-ring debut. Yeah.
Yes, I did not see it. How'd they look?
It was a very short and quick match. Their opponents weren't even announced.
Road Warrior-style match, I bet? They just guzzled the guys.
They just went at it, and it was a pretty quick match. They looked very powerful.
Yes. No, I didn't get a chance to see it. But see, that's the, that was the thing. For those that missed my show, I was assuming, and there's been, well, maybe the scuttlebutt, or maybe that they were going to put the name Legion of Dune on the Authors of Pain, the new guys NXT, because Paul Ellering is with them, and Paul Ellering was the manager of the Road Warriors, and who was the Legion of Doom. So, and it seems like they abandoned that trademark. Now, some are saying, well, Taz, it's because of you. They're listening to your show. You brought it up. And you gave all the reasons in the world.
You're always trending. I mean,
always trending. Not in the Play It commercial. You can let Play It know that, by the way, at their Twitter account. But they put me in a corner of your sports. Doesn't bother me.
That's at Play It. Yeah. If you need a Twitter handle.
Yes. Doesn't bother me at all. It's okay. I'm not upset. So, the trademark deal, people are saying, oh, Taz, they listen to your show. Maybe, maybe. And then I said that to Captain before we went live today. Captain goes, it's not you, dude. It's DC Comics. What do you mean? How do you know it's DC Comics?
I'm speculating.
Yes, you're speculating. And you're burying me in the process. I don't know. It's probably the DC Comics. But they're not over anymore. Maybe. Nobody knows DC Comics anymore.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't even know about that. We had Johnny going over that and one other person tweeting.
Johnny's going over everything. You kidding me? What else we got in the news?
There's another trademark WWE is pursuing.
And what is that?
Clash of the Champions, including a trademark for a TV show.
Really? Now, let me see here. Clash of the Champions used to be a, monthly, whatever it was, on TBS wrestling special that the NWA would put on. And that's kind of where Sting really, and probably the best, you want to watch someone literally get over in front of your eyes. It's in this long match for those newer fans against Ric Flair, and it's where Ric Flair, when Sting wrestled him.
Was that the 60-minute draw one?
I think it was, yeah. It was amazing. I watched that match twice years ago. And Clash of the Champions was the name of the show. It was specials. They were free on TBS. So WWE owns everything WCW once they bought them. I would assume, I did assume, that part of that trademark was Clash of the Champions, but maybe because no one had used it.
Yeah, maybe going back to what you were saying right. The other day about keeping the trademark alive.
Correct, and it disappeared. Yeah, maybe that's what happened. I don't really know. Hey, James in Boston, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's shaking, Taz? How you doing, brother?
Good. Talk to me, bud. What's up?
So I want to do my off the hooks, and then I want to talk about the whole thing you were talking about with Led Zeppelin.
Yes, sir.
All right, so off the hooks, I'm going to go with One Man Gang versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
One Man Gang versus Bam Bam Bigelow, got it.
And then do Giant Baba versus Andre the Giant.
Okay, got it.
And I'm going to go ahead and do Abdullah the Butcher
versus who?
Kamala.
Kamala, okay, got it, yeah. Awesome. You broke up a little bit. And what else is up, brother?
So you talk about the Led Zeppelin. I actually work in the film industry, and there's a great series of like small little 6-7 minute documentaries called "Everything Is a Remix." And the first
it's funny you said that because I'm doing one called "Everything Is a Work."
Everything is a work, man.
Yes, everything is a work. All right, so okay, continue. Everything's a documentary, you said.
Yeah, it's called Everything's a Remix. In the first chapter, they actually talk about Led Zeppelin and the copyright issues they've had in the past and actually play song to song against each other. And it's very remarkable how much they have taken from other genres.
Wow.
Like blues and stuff like that. So.
Well, they were very big into blues. I know, I cannot remember the guitar player's name from a rhythm and blues legend, BB King, I think it was. And I believe I read somewhere years ago, like Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, all those guys from Zeppelin were big fans of BB King, you know. And so that part I believe. But I got to tell you, it's news to me, James. I didn't realize that Led Zeppelin was such hacks, man. I didn't know. I'm very disappointed. I mean, I loved these guys since high school.
Yeah, they said a lot of the 70s show, a lot of your 70s bands have kind of ripped from the old blues and old rock guys like John Lee Hooker, B.B. King, and kind of incorporated their styles into their music.
Right, right, absolutely. Well, I appreciate the info, Big James, and I love all the tweets you put out there and support the show so much.
I love the show, man. It's my morning grind every single day of the week.
All right, buddy. Well, that means the world to me, seriously. I can decide it does, and it's a shame you live in Boston, and you'll never be my favorite supporter of the show, but you're up there, and you know, and it sucks you live in Boston, and that's all I'm going to tell you. And he's gone. So, James, you're not gone. I thought you hung up on me.
No, I'm still here. All
right, James, I was saying you live in a great city, and that's awesome. All right, James, be good, pal.
You too, brother. I appreciate it.
Take care, man. See, even people from, you know, the opposition, as I call Boston.
Up there.
Yeah. So, yeah, even people from there are nice. He knew his stuff about the music. I'll tell you who I thought knew more about music. You know what that is?
Me?
You. Yeah.
Why would you think that?
I don't know, because you say you're from the music business.
Yeah, and I told you, the whole Zeppelin ripping people off has been a long time.
Sing a tune, something. Bring a guitar in here. You know what that song is?
It's Dueling Banjos, isn't it?
Look at you. I got to start doing a segment where you name that tune. Now that's a hack. Did you ever see that show back in the day? Name that you probably.
And
you're younger than me.
I think I've seen in syndication. It was before.
Dude, it was years ago.
Yeah, it was
a great show.
Born, but I remember seeing it, and some people would get it in one note. Sometimes it was crazy.
My dad was awesome. We watched it at after dinner, and my dad loved the show, and he was great at it at home. He was great. He was like, he would name it. These people all suck. He's burying everybody. I'm a chip off the old block. So, yeah. By the way, Father's Day is this Sunday, you know.
Do you think your son got you anything?
No! Probably not. No, he probably did. I'm joking. I'm very fortunate. I'm sure he got me something. I don't know what he got me. You never know with him. He's slick, bro. He probably got me something cool. He doesn't like the way I dress. He don't like anything I do.
Maybe a football or something to toss
around?
Football?
He's going to give me a football?
Did he take the balls and order the equipment guy to alter them?
He might give me a football. He knows I'm a big football fan. I don't think he'd give me a football, though. That would be funny. Maybe he's just going to throw me a football. That would be weird.
Throw a lacrosse ball at you?
That would hurt if he did it, because he throws it very fast and straight, and it hurts. Cannot have a catch with a kid with a lacrosse stick anymore. Throws the ball too hard. Hey, Ronnie in Florida, what's up?
Hey, hello?
Hey, Ronnie, how you doing, guy?
Hey, first time, long time, man.
Oh, that's nice. Right in the yam bag. I love that saying.
Right in the yam bag.
Yeah, you know it, brother. What's going on? You a new listener or viewer, or you've been checking out the show for a while?
For a while, man.
All right, cool. I think you went to the vape store, too. So what's up, brother?
Sorry, bro. I'm just trying to keep it down so I don't wake everybody up.
Oh, why? No. Come on. Put the show on speaker and let's get rolling. Come on. The Taz Show is still trending today. Ronnie, wake up the whole family. They love the Taz Show. It's very entertaining. Play it. Treat me like a Java. Yes, yes, yes. What else is going on, buddy?
Yo, bro, I want to talk about that Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, the whole thing. Do you think the Shield's getting back together, or what do you think's going on with that? I mean, it seems like other than Seth and Roman kissing, it's like...
excuse me, you saw them kissing, you said?
No, they should have been.
Oh, you know what I mean?
It was like a
bro love. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, bromance.
Yeah. I don't see them getting back together, Ronnie. And I don't know anyone's sexual preference. It's none of my business. But I don't see them getting back together as a unit. I don't think it'd be a good idea, to be honest with you. I just think at this point, just leave it. Let them go. Let Dean be that baby face. I'm starting to think he's gonna win the Money in the Bank. You know, Seth Rollins is challenging for the World Heavyweight title. You got the Roman Reigns as the champion. I think people, Ronnie, and thanks for calling, people like yourself and other people see them interacting together and start to speculate that, oh my God, they're getting these guys back together. They're seeing all these video packages on a live Raw of, you know, the Shield and all. I almost called them State Patrol. How funny is that? State Patrol. The Shield getting back together. What is that's what's happening? What do you think? And you're starting to feel this because you see them together, and that's why I think that's kind of a mistake. You know, by the WWE, they should not have had Dean Ambrose involved with that. Let's say hypothetically, Dean Ambrose does win the Money in the Bank. And WWE knew this 2 weeks ago that they're going to have him win this Sunday. I wouldn't have shown Dean Ambrose anywhere near Roman or Rollins. Nowhere near them in their storyline. Because you know why? If hypothetically you have Dean Ambrose win the Money in the Bank, he captures the briefcase as the opening match of Money in the Bank. Let's just say, if I was booking, I would have made that the opening match. Then I would let all these matches happen on the card. You know, everything from Cena and AJ as a semi-main. I would have had the U.S. title in there and Charlotte, Dana Brooke, Natalya, Becky, all that. I would did all that stuff. And then I have my main event for the world title. Roman Reigns defends against Seth Rollins. 3 hours later, you forgot about Dean Ambrose. And you forgot about the Shield when he comes out. After Rollins wins or Reigns wins, whoever you have win, you have Dean come out. And as he's coming down the ramp, the announcers, it's an easy sell. Oh my God, they're wearing the Shield together, all this stuff. You can't do that now. It's missed opportunities because you've tipped your hand a lot if you're going that way. There's the surprise element, the shock and awe moment is gone. If Dean Ambrose wins and then he cashes it in the same night, which as I predict, I think he should do if he wins because he said on Raw this past Monday he is going to. Baby faces should never lie. Baby faces should never lie. Because when they lie, you hurt their credibility. That's another LT moment. I think I've said that before. But no one learns when I talk. No one.
You covered that yesterday.
Ah, don't give me an attitude, please. Lose the attitude. I'm pissed at everybody around here. Well, look at the social media on the side. Not that I care. I'm just wondering. You checking it out? Take your time. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Taz is still trending. Oh, trending. Still trending.
Yep. How's the lobby looking? Nothing in the lobby. No love, Cap.
Where's giant the heat? TV, no Taz show on it. Gonna have to figure out a way to get that on there.
Dude, actually, Video Brian might be able to do that. Can he hack into the streaming that they have in the lobby? See, for those that most of you don't know, in the lobby, it's this giant TV of all these different cool CBS radio logos of radio stations. I think it's really cool. They got cool music playing, all this stuff. Zero representation of the Taz show.
It's just not cool enough.
Zero representation. Dude, nothing. Nothing.
Video Brian says he needs access codes.
I'll give you some inside tip. We're going to get a slight picture of that lobby and tweet it out. And they have these really fancy, damn beautiful purple chairs and purple and white. This crazy, like, you feel like you're in that 70s show.
A bit.
So anyway, it's kind of like the mauve type of decor.
No maze.
Yeah, no mauve. Maze. No, yeah, maze. Maze. So the rumor is that the interior decorator for CBS Radio is a friend of mine. He's actually related to me, my cousin. Bobby DeRuki, he was in the meeting. He's a janitor here. And he overheard what was going on.
He's a janitor and he designed the lobby? That's incredible.
No, he didn't design the lobby. He was in the meeting because he was cleaning out the toilet.
Oh, all right.
They meet in the bathroom because they don't want no one to know, the fashion designers.
And your cousin Bobby kind of jumped up on the toilet so no one would see his legs.
He's cleaning
right?
It. He's cleaning the bowl, but he's got the whisk, everything, right? So apparently they wanted to put orange chairs and an orange theme in the lobby. And then one of the bigwigs from Play It, said, no, I think orange is a horrible color, and it sucks.
Bam!
And next thing you know, we got purple. I'm just saying. These are things that happen around these parts. It's horrible. It's hurtful, and it's very unfair. Mark in Toronto, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm good, pal. Talk to me.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say first time, long time.
Oh, another one. Another first time. Yeah, big shot. What's up, big man?
Ahoy, Captain.
Ahoy.
Are you a new viewer, or you've been listening or watching for a while?
I've been listening and watching since about when the Captain joined the group.
Oh, well, so you missed all the good stuff before that.
Let me just say first
wait,
of all.
Wait. So, Mark, please, I almost want to strike what you said and take it out of my show because that means the Captain's drawing an audience? What? What the hell is that, Mark? Why would you say that on his show? Come on now. All right, what else is up? What's up, Mark? Talk to me.
I did want to ask you a question, but first I wanted to give my off the hooks.
Go for it, buddy.
Okay, I wanted to start off with Undertaker versus Abyss.
Yes.
Nia Jax versus Awesome Kong.
Nice.
And Big Show versus Andre the Giant.
Big Show versus Andre. Okay, got it. What else is up, buddy?
All right, so around this time last week, after the NXT takeover at the end, you had a bit of an issue, as well, everyone did, with the crowd reaction, chanting, and you said how it took away from the show at points.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, yep.
And obviously there are times when that happens, but I was just wondering if you feel like there are any times when the crowd chanting maybe enhances the environment of the show, like, for example, when Sami Zayn faced Nakamura at Dallas, and everyone was chanting Fight Forever. That was exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Listen, I think you make a great point, Mark, and absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right, and sometimes it does. I just think that it's unfair to the audience, let's just say, at Full Sail in Orlando, because they're always shooting TVs there. So all those of us that aren't in the audience, it gets a little annoying sometimes because it's about them or some of the, you know, and I guess maybe years ago some might have thought that about the ECW audience too. And thank you for calling, Mark. But I do think, to your point, Mark, that there are times, yes, when a match either needs or it helps the match. And when you get that in a big building, if there's 15, 20,000 people and that's happening, it's amazing. It's amazing. And especially if it's in a non-traditional hotbed wrestling town, if that makes sense. So, you know, when you're in New York at a show, or you're in Philly, or now in Florida, or I would maybe say Chicago, those are great wrestling areas and beds of wrestling, and people are smart fans, and a lot of smart fans in the crowd. So you're going to get different types of chants and whatnot, and jocularity and tomfoolery. So I think, but if you get a chance like that and you're doing a big pay-per-view, an NXT takeover, hypothetically, in Omaha, Nebraska, and then you're getting a chance like, this is awesome, I can deal with that. But when I'm getting them in Orlando and I'm getting, you know, at Full Sail, and I'm getting the, you still got it. You still got, this is wrestling. This is wrestling. It's annoying. They make it about them. This is awesome. You still got it. It's a little obnoxious. You know what I'm saying? But then again, things tick me off. So that's probably just me.
Sometimes when hearing those chants, I feel a little distracted and annoyed.
Well, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
So, Adrian in Melbourne, Australia, how are you?
Hey, Taz. Hey, Captain. First time, long time.
Oh, another first time, long time. Look, all the way from the Australia. What's going on,
yes,
big guy?
Melbourne, Australia. I'm just sitting here in my bathrobe, and I've been waiting so long on the line, basically on my cell phone, making an international phone call, and my whole week's paycheck is basically going to go to this conversation, but it's worth it.
On that note, I gotta let you go. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks for calling in.
What's up, buddy?
I just want to say, when I say first time, long time, I mean it. I remember listening to your 2015 Royal Rumble review on the HBM days. So,
thank you, buddy.
It's been
thank
a long
you for
time.
That. Thanks for all the long time support. Seriously.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I listen to a lot of wrestling audio shows, let's say, and I want to say your show is the Lucha Underground of wrestling audio shows, in that it's fresh, it's hip, more people should be talking about it than what there already is, and I'm not afraid to actually watch or listen to it in front of my friends, so there you go.
Thank you, buddy. That's very nice of you to say. I'm sincerely flattered by that, and that means a lot from you, Adrian. Thank you, man. That's very nice of you.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Now, my question is, several months ago, and I apologize in advance if you feel I may be getting a little bit too personal here, but several months ago, someone alluded to the fact about maybe your son getting into wrestling, and it was just a throwaway comment, and you said, my son is not interested in getting into professional wrestling, nor will he ever get into professional wrestling. Now, by saying that, I assume that you would not approve of your son getting into professional wrestling. Is that correct?
That's correct. As far as an in-ring competitor, if he worked behind the scenes, and hypothetically, I don't know, a corporate role, or whenever he's out of school, and you know what I mean, or whatever his degree is in, or he's in a different facet of the business, that's different. As far as being a wrestler, I can't tell him what to do once he gets to that age. You know, it's kind of up to him, but I don't see him wanting to pursue something like that, nor does my wife want that. But, you know, sometimes with kids, they do what you don't want them to do. Unlike the Baratelli.
Of course.
Yeah, so. But I don't, as far as a wrestler, no, I don't want him in the ring, no.
Now, my real question is that if you were to go back 30 years to before there was even a Taz, if you were to tell a young teenage Mike Daruki yourself, would you try to, as much success of you as you have had, along comes all the physical pain and everything, and I'm sure sometimes the mental pain as well.
Absolutely.
Would you, as much love as you've brought into this world with everything that you've accomplished, would you try and tell yourself not to become a professional wrestler?
No, I would not. And it's a great question, Adrian. I appreciate your calling and your support, and I'll answer your question. No, I would not tell that young wrestler named Taz or Tazmaniac or Kid Crush years and years ago, because this is the reason why. That guy had a insane burning desire and passion to succeed in the industry, okay, where someone like my son has no desire to be in the industry. He respects it. He does. Trust me, he does. He knows it very well, but he has no desire to be in it. He has no passion for it, so it's kind of a different deal. I had a passion for it, you know what I mean? So, but thank you. That's a good question, Adrian. I appreciate it. We got to go to break, but before we go to break, Cap, people always ask me about Dynaflow. You know, I hear, you know what I mean? I get this a lot.
You're talking about some of the behind the scenes in that documentary we're working on where you get really technical?
I get technical and I explain things. Yeah, we're working on a documentary where I explain things about the show. Some people call them Tazisms, but Dynaflow is actually a real thing, so... When people, yes.
We got the excerpt ready.
Ready. But see, that's the thing. I can explain. I'm going to go to break here right now, and I'll take you to break with this, okay? So, to me, when I have people come and say, Taz, what is a Dynaflow? Taz, what's a Dynaflow? Well, a Dynaflow basically is, I get stopped all the time in the street. People ask me the same question. I get private emails and text messages and whatnot, faxes, facsimiles, all this. Hey, Taz, what is a Dynaflow?
Stop,
well,
stop,
it's... stop, 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 stop. Everybody stop, okay? So that, I taped that before the show.
This is from that documentary.
From the documentary. But yeah, but I got to explain that. You didn't let me explain it, and you didn't explain it. Documentary.
Yeah.
You said documentary.
Documentary.
So that just, you just throw a documentary on. People are supposed to know what's going on. So here, this is an excerpt, if that is the word.
Excerpt.
Thank you. To Captain's point. We're going to break now, and I'm getting angry. Listen to this as you get ready to go to break, and I'll be right back, maybe because I'm mad. I get stopped all the time in the street. People ask me the same question. I get private emails and text messages and whatnot, faxes, facsimiles, all this. Hey, Taz, what is a Dynaflow? Well, it's...
prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back here, Taz Show, Thursday edition, fourth quarter city coming at you. As usual, another busy show, and thank you to the audience for having the show trending on the worldwide topical trends, whatever the hell that means. We're on the Java level of trending. We're not at that, but I guess we hit that threshold that the Handsome Johnny was talking about a while ago. We were trending every day, then we stopped, and apparently we had to hit a different threshold, whatever the friggin' word is. And then apparently we hit it, because we've been trending a couple times. Last hump day promo last week we did. Yesterday we didn't. Then a couple days this past week we did. And then today we did. We're still trending right now. So thank you to the guys and girls that are watching or listening to the show live. That's really cool, and I appreciate it very much. Lord knows, especially you guys. You guys are out there using the hashtag The Taz Show and keeping that buzz hot on the show, for the show and on the social medias. So that's actually very cool. I believe, let me just double check something here. Yeah, we got the gimmick on the Schneebus on the, yes, nice. Okay, good, guys. Wanted to make sure that we, I'm just looking at Handsome Johnny's Twitter account. It's like the picture of his heading, it's just like a club party scene going on. Like, what is going on here? Like, I thought he's growing up. I thought he got out of this face.
Maybe it's not a face.
Never thought of it like that. I never thought of it like that. You're right. I think he's going to post a picture of a close-up of the purple chairs in the lobby at the CBS radio as opposed to the orange that they were supposed to get. I want you guys to see this. It's a conspiracy here. They're all out to get me. They're all out to get me here. They all hate me. They all hate me. Hey, Dan in Iowa, what's up?
Hello?
Dan, this is Taz. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, my name's Ben, but that's okay.
No, Dan. I said Dan. What's your name?
Ben.
Oh, Ben. And you're from Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It was a typo. How you doing, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Great now that I'm talking to you.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. But are you a Hawkeye fan?
Not really, to be honest. Okay. Just wrestling.
I understand. This is wrestling. All right, what's up, Ben? What do you want to talk about?
Well, it's almost Friday, so.
Friday. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's happy. It's almost Friday. Thank God it's Friday, Taz. Freaky Friday. Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God it's Friday, Ben. Almost. What's up, buddy?
Nothing. It's not. You can't do it on a Thursday. You can't do it on the Friday. Man.
Right. Check. Yes. Right. Correct.
Yes.
But I wanted to call in the Diva Revolution, this and that, and they completely stopped pushing it.
Do you think they slowed down pushing the Diva Revolution, you're saying, right?
I mean, it's Natty and Becky or, I mean,
Paige. Paige just wrestled Charlotte. She got a big win over Charlotte on Raw, right? We saw that.
But she hadn't been there for like a month.
Right. No, I understand, but I think the Divas Revolution, Ben, like in defense to like WWE and what Stephanie McMahon said in that promo that time, if you think about it, it's just and what I got from it, it's more of a an overview of the Divas, female wrestlers now because it's not Divas Championship anymore, but the ladies getting more of a presence on the broadcast, which they do, and they deserve, and they should have more. So that's the feeling I got from when Stephanie cut that promo about the Divas. What was Stephanie who cut the promo, right? What, Divas Revolution? Was it her? I think it was her.
I totally hear you, but I just, with Becky and Paige and all the other ladies they have over there,
yeah.
What are they doing? Like, it's just like, I don't know if they were outdoing the guys.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think there's a. I don't think it's a thing where there's envy and they don't want to push the girls because they're outdoing the guys. I don't think it's that. I don't. That's just my opinion, Ben. But I mean, I've worked there long enough and close enough with them. I don't think that's the situation at all. I just think that maybe they don't have faith in some of the other girls, and that's just to be honest. Maybe that's what it is. You know, I do think they have a good presence on TV. I mean. They have enough talent along with NXT females that they could even go even more if they wanted. I mean, they could do a lot. They got to change their programming, WWE. They do. And that's why I talk about you know, when SmackDown goes live. So there was some scuttlebutt, maybe they get 3 hours from USA on Tuesdays. So they have 3 hours for Raw, 3 hours for SmackDown. If that happens and they just do it like that, that's a epic fail and mistake by the WWE, programming, everything. Horrible. Because you have the opportunity to do two things. Stop boring people with one show, okay, for 3 hours, meaning Raw and then North SmackDown. I've said it before, for those that really listen, pay attention to my show, and I joke around a lot and I screw around a lot on the air and I have fun because that's the show. But I also give a ton of insight. Listen closely, I've said in the past about Vince McMahon, I've personally heard it with my own ears. Tell me, the best length of a TV wrestling show is 90 minutes. Flat out, heard him say it more than once. I don't think Vince is a huge fan of the three-hour Raw. So here's my point. Why not do NXT, like I said, on Mondays, and Triple H runs that for an hour, 2 hours for Raw, SmackDown, 2 hours, and if you do get that third hour from USA for SmackDown for Tuesdays, make that a ladies show, almost hacking what Ring of Honor does, what Women of Honor. Captain, your opinion?
I was actually thinking something along those lines on my way in today.
Come on, stop.
Will you stop?
Come on, now.
I had originally suggested a few months back about doing a women's show, remember?
Damn it. You did. That's where I got that good idea.
But it's your IP. It's your IP.
No. You did have the idea.
I was honestly
I knew I heard it somewhere. But
I was honestly thinking.
But you didn't say it like I said.
No, I was honestly thinking what you just said coming in this morning because of what you had said about taking an hour from Raw and giving it to NXT and then hearing about SmackDown going 3 hours, well, then possibly going 3 hours.
So let me get this straight. You thought it.
Because of what you had said regarding NXT and Raw.
You thought it, but you never said it.
No, I did not.
So I didn't hack it.
No, you did not.
I hacked your idea about the ladies show,
well,
which I love.
It's your IP, so you
stop
can't hack it.
Stop it. I hacked your idea. But I had my own better idea. That's how I look at this. No, all kidding aside. No matter whose idea, that's irrelevant. We're joking around. But the thing, all kidding aside, like, seriously, if USA gives these guys, you know, a third hour, you know, on SmackDown on Tuesdays, yo, don't, please don't do a three-hour SmackDown. And don't do a three-hour Raw. Give an hour to NXT and give an hour and do a ladies show.
And to add in, WWE just very recently, in the last few hours, unveiled an exclusive multi-year digital distribution deal in China.
Really?
This is a first time from what I'm seeing over here for the WWE. They're really reaching out as far as their reach goes.
Global.
Yeah, globally.
Global. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool for them. That's awesome. No, they are just a massive global entity machine. You know what I mean? And they have a massive staff, and they have a lot of resources and a lot of money. But at the end of the day, you still got to have good ideas. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much resources you got. You got to have good ideas. As I'm proud to say, and I'll wave that ECW flag, we had very little money. But we had a guy heading that thing up who had great ideas, and Paul Heyman, every day. And he had people around him that would give input on ideas. And I humbly say I was one of them. And I'm telling you right now, if you have the mindset and you have the ideas and the creative, as they call it, and then you have TV and then you have the money like Vince has, you're off to the races. Now, Vince at times has shown brilliance in his creative for decades upon decades. Vince McMahon, one of the smartest men I've ever met in my entire life. Seriously. You know, I have a buddy of mine who's a lot smarter than him. He's not in the wrestling business. Big time Wall Street guy. This guy's smart. He's also more wealthier, if that even makes sense, if that's good English, than Vince. How's that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Money Jones. That's his name. So.
BMJ.
Yeah, that's what I call him. The Big Money Jones.
I've only heard of him.
No, a buddy of mine is like, I'm talking about filth rich. That's why when I get fired here by CBS, I'm going to go work for him. Oh, no, I'm going to work for him. I'm going to do his lawn. I'm going to clean his pool house. Everything. I'll do a show by his pool when he has company over. Do a whole big thing. Hey, why'd the chicken cross the road? You gotta get to the other side. You gotta pay me $7-8 million. We love you, Taz.
That's exactly why.
Taz is still trending. Oh, trending. Still trending.
Never ends. The success of the power of the Taz Nation, the audience, and my abilities and Captain showing up is the reason why this all happens. It's the reason why we trend. If only I could make it into Play It commercial.
Then you know you've made it.
I used to be in it. They warmed me to the ground with it. You're a sports show. No, I'm not. I'm a pop culture show built around sports and entertainment.
Hey, do you know Taz, by the way?
Wake up! So anyway, start to fly off the handle sometimes because I start getting my nutbag twisted a little bit. You know what I mean? I got to watch my language. I had a guy treat me the other day while I'm doing a live show. Hey, Taz, I got my kid in the car. Can you please watch the language, please? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Like he's the principal. Like I told you to have your kid listen to my show. What am I going to do here? I got to tailor the show for everyone? What kind of a thing is that to say to someone?
I don't have to show you any stinking brushes.
It's unbelievable. Tortured out here. Tortured, I say, for 2 hours. And now they're thinking of doing 3 hours. Well, Taz, we're starting to feel like, you know, maybe you could do 3 hours and, you know, your audience kind of would want it. That's how they talk to me, bro.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like the last four callers on this show that just sound stoned and high.
I was about to ask.
What is going on?
Is it National Vape Day? I mean, I'm looking around. I'm not seeing anything.
Hopefully this guy here. Kevin in Los Angeles, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Taz? How y'all doing, Captain?
Finally, Kevin, a guy was awake. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Happy Friday Eve and long time here.
I know you. What's up, man?
I got these three heavies off the hook for you, and I got a question I've been wanting to ask you for some time now. Let me get to these heavies right fast. I got Mr. Hughes versus Big Boss Man from when he was a face back in WWE in 91.
Mr. Hughes, very underrated, awesome athlete, excellent football player at Kansas State. Not Kansas, Kansas State. Excellent athlete. I've been in the ring with him. Huge man that really was moved like a cat. And that's why he was called the Big Cat. He wasn't the Big Cat. It was Ernie Ladd. He was called the Big. What was his nickname? Kevin, do you know?
It had something to do with Cat. I think you're right about the Big Cat, too. Because I think when he was in WCW in the early 90s, I think they did sometime call him Big Cat.
Yeah, but I remember Ernie Ladd, another guy knows, what is it? Hold
up, Cat. A different persona for Mr. Hughes' Big Cat.
Okay, well, because I think that also was a spinoff of where he went to college. Kansas State, I believe, were the Wildcats, right?
Right.
I think so. Anyway, so enough of that. What else you got?
Also got Bam Bam Bigelow versus Umaga.
Right. We're hearing a lot of these names. Okay, cool. What else?
Then in my main event, I got Andre the Giant versus Mark Henry.
Wow, nice. Okay, I don't think we've heard that one yet. Mark Henry and Andre the Giant. That's that configuration. I don't think so. What else you got going on?
And I like to ask you now, when it comes to wrestlers doing a running when they come in through the audience, through the crowd, how does that get set up with that particular arena security? Like before the show, do they have the security get in the meeting and say, okay, this person or these persons are going to come through, so make sure when they come through you don't try to snag them and say, hey, we're going to take you off for trying to interfere in the show? How does that get set up?
Absolutely. Just what you said. That's how it's done. Exactly, Kevin. What happens is there's a meeting. See, there's two sets of security. Learning tree moment. LT City here. There's two sets of There's two sets of security. There is the WWE security and the in-house security, what the building has. So the WWE security, they meet. They have a head of their security. When I was there, it was a guy named Jimmy. Seriously, and they meet, have a meeting with their team along with the in-house security of the arena. And they go over what's going to go on in the show, not in full detail, anything in the audience, just so the in-house security is aware. It's a very good question by Kevin. I don't think a lot of people have ever thought that or asked it or anything like that. Did you know that, Captain?
No, but I kind of would guess it's something like that.
Oh, I noticed you're very insecure. Do you realize that?
Trying to be as honest as I can be.
No, you're far from honest. You're very, very insecure. I mean that in a good way. You're very, very insecure. You really, because you act like you never want to not know. You're like, no, I thought that. There was always a qualifier on everything. Why? Why? But it's okay not to know something.
Yeah, I didn't say I knew it.
But why do you... I'm just saying, like, why do you got to act like you know everything?
I don't. I didn't say I did.
You implied it.
I thought you didn't work on implications.
No one cares.
Don't ever question me again. You'll be fired. Okay? Watch yourself. Watch yourself. I know you're insecure. And we're going to work on it. I'm going to help you. I have a lot of stuff to do, and the show's almost over. Jake in Oakland. What the hell? Jake, what's going on, buddy? What's going on there? Jake! What was that? He laughed and hung up. On hold, 67 minutes. Bro, really? Really? See, what in the wide world of sports are we doing today?
Great way to spend the morning.
What are these people? It's not morning. Great. What are these people thinking? Seriously. All right, so you got SmackDown tonight, right?
Correct for.
Oh, by the way,
the
wait. Before we do, I'm sorry. Before we do that, like I said, I did not see the NXT. You did. Was there anything on NXT you wanted to talk about that you saw, or what's going on?
I liked seeing TM61 again, and they're an Australian tag team.
Shane Thorne and Nick Miller. I've never seen these guys. What's the deal?
They're pretty good. A few weeks ago, they had their debut against Ciampa and Gargano. And Ciampa and Gargano beat him in a great match.
Oh, I do remember them. Okay, yeah, I do remember them. All right.
So last night they went up against Blake and Murphy.
Mm.
Pretty good match, and it was nice to see TM61 win.
How was the Carmella-Tessa Blanchard match? That's a match I wish I would have seen. I want to try and catch up to that. How was that?
It was all right. I felt like it was kind of quick.
Mm. Yeah, I could see them, too, if they give them time. I and Tessa was, let's say she was under contract in the company. I've done a BBB on Tessa Blanchard. Breakdown before breakout. She's a tremendous talent. It's in her blood, obviously. So I would love to see that match. But you're saying it was quick, eh?
Yeah, it seemed like they weren't given too much time.
And then at the end of the deal, I caught a teeny bit of list with Finn Balor at the tail end, and then Nakamura came out. That's pretty badass. How'd that go?
Balor came out and started talking, kind of hinting at, hey, maybe I've done everything I can do here in NXT. What's next for Finn Balor? The audience was chanting... Please don't go, or something along those lines.
Oh, no, I forgot about that one. Please don't go. Please don't go. Welcome back. Welcome back. You still got it. You still got it. This is wrestling. What did I miss any?
I think you covered pretty much all of them.
Most of them, right?
You?
A lot of them.
This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah, I think I got them all, Cap. So now maybe the Nakamura. And the Finn Balor, they have at it in Brooklyn at the TakeOver.
That could be.
Huh. That would be good.
I mean, that's the next big event for NXT. Nothing's been announced officially yet, but that would make sense.
I read somewhere I don't have... Like I said, I've been sidetracked with something else, and tonight I will be sidetracked also. Is there a name yet, I think, for the NXT show in Brooklyn?
Something like Back to Brooklyn. Let me get the exact wording. It's something like that.
They kind of... Back to Brooklyn. Well, what's coming up with these names?
Yeah, it's Back to Brooklyn. it's sold out, too, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's good for them. But how simple of a name? I guess it don't matter if it's sold out. Who cares about the name, right? I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But really, that's such a simple name. Like, that's like me calling my show, naming my show just after my name and saying the word show in it.
Yeah, so who would
simple,
do that?
Like, really. Like, if there's a show on at nighttime, you call it the Tonight Show. Like, that would never get over. You know what I mean?
Never.
No. Back to Brooklyn. Come on. Back to Brooklyn, my ass. They never been to Brooklyn. They don't know Brooklyn, Cap, like we know Brooklyn. Back to Brooklyn. Well, you went there once or twice. Brooklyn. Triple H, you're from Boston. Actually, New Hampshire. That's worse than Boston. Actually, New Hampshire's a beautiful place. It is. I have a house in the Antilles.
Do you?
Yeah.
How many TVs in that one?
Do you have an Antilles? So what else do we have? So we have on the SmackDown tonight. Where are we? Hold on a minute. Oh, here we go. So we got the Ambrose, the Zayn, and the Cesaro in a six-man against Owens, Jericho, and Del Rio. Obviously, this is the go-home to the Money in the Bank. Then you got a Jericho highlight reel with Dean Ambrose. So we're going to get a... Again, like I said on Raw, guys, just learn about this. You're getting a full plate, a steady diet of Dean Ambrose. You're going to get him in that six-man main, and you're going to get him in the Jericho highlight reel, which leads to my theory of this guy's winning the Money in the Bank because they're really pumping him hard on TV. So you got Charlotte and Natalya. You got Rusev and Kalisto. Seems like a good SmackDown. I don't read the spoilers. I'm assuming it was a pretty good show. Kofi Kingston versus Big Cass versus Luke Gallows versus Nathan English. That's a tag team titles. I guess what they used to call back in the, and a captain's match, per se. Is it something you want to say?
I was going to say a fatal four-way.
Stop! So I'm trying to give you the backstory of the story, Cap. Okay, please. You know, you're trying to add things, and please. You know how this is with me. Once I stop talking, you can't talk.
And then not to maintain eye contact too long.
Please, don't look at me.
That's why I'm looking all over the
place.
Don't
look at me. Buy a paradiddle and stare at it. That's all I'm going to tell you. I don't want no one looking at me on the show ever again. Nobody. I'm sick of all you people. Not the audience. You and everybody else who works here. All of you. I want to thank everybody for getting this show trending. Another day of trending for the Taz Show. Very good, right, Cap?
Excellent.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow we'll talk. We'll try and talk a little SmackDown, other stuff. And also the podcast version dropped late yesterday. Today will be okay, though, hopefully.
It should be. Yesterday was a tech issue.
Sorry for the tech issues earlier. And the VOD will drop a little while. Or check it out on the YouTubes, too. You can do that, too. All right, for the captain, I'm Taz. We'll talk to you tomorrow. When I was only worried about my top friends. Now my circle is getting smaller. All these people acting fake, man. And to be honest, I don't even have a top 10. Me against the world. I've been doing what I really love. Haters been hiding behind the screen. Man, they movie cut. And when I'm back at home, it never feels the same. Cause we've been doing our own thing, trying to stay up. I wanna go back to days with no grades. We ordered the kids' meal, play ball, that's all day now. I'm stuck looking at this Instagram page, but these likes on my picture don't result in getting paid now. I've been wondering where the party at, cause all of my concerns got me wondering where they got the Bacardi at. So going for another drink just to get away. We gotta live it up, Carolina here to stay. I'm hoping I won't let you go. I left my heart in the city. Back since I was shooting hoops, new with shoes, you know what I've been going through, and it's for the team, no, I go for my dreams, I've been on tours and